Our Easter scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter. He outran Peter. And he kept outrunning Peter. And finally, reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there. But he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Living God, in your presence we have gathered. In your name we name our hopes. In your being our beings are restored. In your light we shall see light. And in your life we shall find fullness of life. Send your Spirit on this place this morning to renew our spirits. Stir in us again the hope of your kingdom coming through us and among us, and give us the power of the one in whose name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Nobody steals a dead body by unwrapping it first. Unwrapping death until it takes the face of hope. I have seen the resurrection this last year many times. The most riveting form of that resurrection came in the face of a Liberian woman who won the Nobel Peace Prize, Lima Gbagbo, whose life as a 17-year-old in the midst of war-torn Liberia, was crushed. emotionally, physically, spiritually. You can read about it in her book, Mighty Be Our Powers. What was she to do to face the world around her? What was she to do? As one girl whose life was torn apart, in a country torn apart, with death all around her. When I had two students from Liberia 5 years ago now in a faith-based peace-building course, they taught me the difference between short sleeve and long sleeve in the Civil War. Short sleeve is when the arm was cut off here. Long sleeve was when it was cut off there. The Liberian Civil War tore the country apart. Lima Gbowee's life was torn down to death. She met two Lutherans who had worked with trauma training, who began helping her unwrap her life, unwrap the bandages that she had wrapped her heart tight with and shut with. These folks had been trained in trauma by some folks at Eastern Mennonite University, and later Lema got more training in peace building and eventually her master's degree in peace building from Eastern Mennonite University. But that was after she started a movement of women in Liberia dressed in white to say no to the hell they were living through. And you can see that in the movie, Pray the Devil Back to Hell. One of the stories Lima told in that movie, in one of the movies on EMU's website, and also possibly in the movie, was of her going to the parade grounds to practice early for the Women's March. And there was a woman there in her 70s with hardly any shoes on. And she was always there first and alone. And Lima, as the organizer, finally asked her, "Why do you come here?" And she said, "I lost both sons in the war, and I come here so you don't have to lose your children." Her own death was unwrapped with hope for others. If you want to hear a heart fully alive with the power of God's transforming grace and peace, I'd encourage you to listen to Lima's story in various places. The story we have this morning in the gospel is one similar. Mary Magdalene. She is the focus of the story, not those guys who hung around with Jesus. She's front and center. Two of the 12 happened to show up. They ran there and walked away. Mary Magdalene stayed and wept. She knew what a transformed life was with. She was from the part of that region in southern Gennesaret, which didn't have a good reputation. It was a challenging place to live, mostly pagan, but her life had been turned around by Jesus. And in various other passages in the gospel, what does it say? She followed with the 12, supported them, paid for some of their activities, was a servant in their midst, and above all, hoped beyond the death in her own life. The gospel says she had been cured and healed of 7 demons. Whatever brokenness that symbolized, we do not know. But we do know she was there at the tomb, weeping and still misunderstanding. Her death was still wrapped in the loss of her own expectation for something more. But her life had been given life by Jesus. So why do we see Mary Magdalene weeping? The body wasn't there. And the cloth was, what did they do to the body? What did they do to the one she loved who had healed her? And then Jesus himself, when she walked in and saw the angels sitting in the spot where the body should have been, and one at the head, one at the foot. What did she see? Angels and a man behind her she did not recognize. Until that man said, "Mary," and she said, "Jesus." And before that, he asked, "Why are you weeping?" When I read this question again this week, "Why are you weeping?" I read it in light of the many tears I have seen in our church, tears of transformation and healing, tears of pain and grief, tears in the Middle East of people telling their stories of having lived and grown through war, tears of students I've had over the years describing their situation, one whose daughter was kidnapped by the Lord's Resistance Army and came back 2 years later with two children she didn't know the father of. Why are we still weeping is the question of the resurrection story. The power of life, the life of God in Jesus Christ, which draws us beyond ourselves and beyond our loss of expectation. The disciples ran there hoping to see what happened. Did they even expect to see the Lord? And they walked home dejected, locked the doors in fear, and sat there. How many of us lock the doors of our heart and our expectations in fear and sit there, unwilling to wrap what is wrapped around each of us, unwilling to help others unwrap the death within and around them? If there's anything in the unmasking of the powers that there is in the resurrection, it is the unmasking of our own weakness, our own unwillingness to see what is possible if God would work through us. I'll tell the story again because it comes up again, and I tell it almost every Resurrection Sunday. Easter's a pagan word. The Orthodox taught me that. Two angels were sitting on the tomb, and the end of Mark has those two angels rolling away the stone, and sitting on that stone, the angel of the Lord was one of them. And that angel of the Lord that carried out the vengeance of God all through the Hebrew Bible, slaying and killing God's enemies, after the resurrection, sat on the rock, non-anxiously, sort of waiting for whoever would show up, and did not slay the two soldiers who were knocked out by that earthquake there. The angel of the Lord shows up and sits down, waiting for the body of Christ yet to be formed to show up, the disciples, the followers, who would be the ones to do amazing work in the world, as you are and have this year. As I look around this church, I have seen your faces unwrap death in many ways this last year. I have been humbled by the way God's grace has moved in you and through you. I have heard the tears of many of you sharing the way that death has been unwrapped into life. I know the heart of many of you in your jobs and in your work and in your service in the community, sharing that resurrection hope and life. If hope has a face in the world today, it is our face. It is the face of the body of Christ. It is the face of God's grace in us and through us, both changing, transforming us, and enabling and empowering us to be good news people with the face of hope. A few years ago, I told the story, because I'm a science nut, of trying to figure out how life comes out of death. I told this story from National Public Radio, Krista Tippett's On Being show, where she interviewed a scientist in Minnesota who has a laboratory. And they actually stripped all the living material out of the heart structure of a human heart. Or was it a pig's heart, I think? It was a pig's heart. And through telomeres and other scientifically profound aspects of the human body, got that heart to beat again. And the person interviewed said, she got a call late one night from a lab assistant saying, "It's beating." We don't understand how life comes out of death or non-life. It is still a medical mystery, but we're closer and closer to understanding it. Scientifically, many skeptics have said, "I cannot believe in the resurrection because it is counter science." I'm not going there. But I do want to say I have seen the resurrection of spirit. I believe in the power of God who created the universe to be able to restore the life of Jesus Christ. Especially in an post-Einstein world where time is relative, I can imagine that. But that still is not the point. The point of the resurrection is what then happened in the hearts of the disciples as the Spirit came upon them, and the brokenness, bickering, and littleness that they were was slowly transformed into apostles who changed the world and enabled our world to be very different. And stand before us as a challenge to change through God's grace what is within us. So if hope has a face, it is your face. It is my face. And as we prepare for a conclusion of this sermon, in which we'll be reading number 178 in the purple book, Sing the Story 178, I'd like you to commit yourselves again to joining your voice in this resurrection hope. As we have sung, there is something transforming about this power. And we as the church gathered here are the body of Christ, literally that resurrected body, in worship and in witness in our world today. The Spirit of Christ is with us and within us. And I invite us to honor that presence now in two ways. The second is this reading. The first is honoring the power of God's transforming work in each of us. In my years among the Orthodox in the Middle East, I learned things I did not learn in seminary. And one of them I have said before, but I'd like to do what the ancient church does this morning and reaffirm baptismal vows. And as we have also often in the past reaffirmed our own baptismal vows, I'd like to take us into the Eastern Church's reaffirmation of God's baptismal vow to you. For as folks in ancient Arabic Syriac rituals, baptismal rituals, before they were baptized, they received the very words Jesus received at his own baptism. And I offer them to you this morning as a renewal of God's baptismal vow to you. Brothers and sisters in Christ's grace, receive these words as a renewal of God's baptismal vow to you. Behold, my beloved children, in whom I am well pleased. Behold, my beloved children, in whom I am well pleased. Behold, my beloved children, in whom I am well pleased. Let us read together. Lord Jesus Christ, we greet you. The cross has not defeated you. The grave has not kept you silent. At the first dew of the morning, you met our sister Mary and called her by name. We are your family and friends, and though numbered by your death, we come hesitantly but gladly to confirm the rumor that you are alive. Meet us as you met Mary, with gentleness and resolution. Speak our names quietly in our hearts, that we may proclaim your name boldly on our lips. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, in this day we name your name above all names. We name your transforming power as the hope of your kingdom coming through your people into the world. We open our hearts and spirits again this Easter season to receive the power of your Spirit as you are calling us beyond our broken selves to being transformed in your grace, and as calling us in the midst of that transformation to be agents of your reconciliation, agents of your grace, and agents of your hope in a broken world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.